Welcome, my friends, and I'm so glad you could join me again this week for part two of the checkup. If you didn't listen in last week and missed part one, I would ask that you go back, look on my website, Battle Site for Christ, and you'll find part one of the checkup. Oh, this is an exciting message that God has laid on my heart. I pray you'll stay with me now for the next 25 or 26 moments or so. And I pray you'll get a blessing from God's Word. Let us continue. Now, how is it with you? Do you feel like putting an end to it at times, you know, cashing in, giving up, throwing in the towel? Do you get so stressed, you're so weakened by the trials of life, you just want to give up and die? Do you? I feel so sorry for you if you do. Well, I'm here to encourage you. Now, I ain't going to pull no punches. I'm going to tell you the truth as given unto me by God in His holy book, the King James Authorized 1611 Bible. Okay. Do you sometimes pray for God to kill you? Oh, I pray not. What are you trying to do anyway? Make God a murderer? God ain't no murderer. No. He specializes in saving lives, if you know what I mean. Let me ask you this. Are you sure you're a Christian? Are you? Are you sure you're a Christian? If you really are a born-again child of God, then guess what? You belong to Him, and you are not your own. You are not your own. So, to commit suicide is the same as murdering a child of the King. Did you ever think about that? Even though you killed yourself, which you no longer own because you gave yourself to Christ. On the other hand, if you are not a Christian, then who do you belong to? Have you ever given thought to that? If you're not a Christian, you know who you belong to? Yeah, you got it. You got it. The devil, right. And he loves to kill. He loves you, especially to kill yourself, if you're not serving him. Now, if you're not serving him, he could use you. He'd like to recruit you into his furnace room to stoke the fire, to stoke the flames, rather. Oh, yes, he used lots of help. Now, we can split hairs all day concerning suicide if you want to be stubborn about it. However, no matter how you look at it, it's still sin. If you're not under the blood, then you're in the pit. Have you got that? If you're not under the blood, then you're in the pit. Now, President Bush, remember him? Some say he was a Christian. Others disagree. I'm one of the others, unfortunately. Memorial service, France. Bush tells his lies to the world by assuring them, that all those who gave their lives for country and friends are in heaven. Would that not have to include people like Hitler and Mussolini and Tojo? And what about the concentration camp murders? Did Bush misinterpret Scripture? No greater love is this than a man lay down his life for his friends. Well, who are our friends? The enemies of Christ? Are they our friends? Are the unsaved the friends of Jesus? What Jesus was talking about in John 15:13? I think you had better read the next verse. Verse 14, which says, "Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you." And he commands you to repent and believe in the gospel and what he did at Calvary. Okay? To tell the whole world that every soldier who got killed in the wars were friends of God and will be waiting, and God will be waiting for you in heaven, is an inexcusable lie right from the pit. I mean, I mourn for those soldiers too. I used to be a soldier, And I feel sorry for them, but they're no different than just civilians walking down the street. If you don't believe, then you don't receive. It's that simple. Oh, how we want it to be true, but God be true and every man a liar, the Word says. With all due respect to my comrades in arms who made the supreme sacrifice for man and country, the real truth is plainly given in the written word of Almighty God, in John 3:16. Whosoever believeth in Him, that's Jesus Christ, should not perish but have everlasting life. Period. That's the ending of the beginning. Okay? Unless you have received Christ as your personal Savior, you could have been the greatest war hero throughout any and every war and was killed defending your country, but you will not go to heaven unless you are born again into the family of God. You will not. Now, how do you tell this to the friends and relatives of the dearly deceased? How do you tell them that? Huh? Oh, very difficult, right? It's very difficult. Indeed, indeed. You know, the Apostle Paul, through the instruction of God, wrote that we are to examine ourselves. We are to work out our own salvation. It doesn't mean you save yourself. You have to work it out whether you're saved or not. Make sure, believe. Now, how do we do that, you ask? Well, when you go to the doctor with a physical problem, you and your doctor work in tandem, so to speak, to determine what your problem is. You know, where does it hurt? How do you feel? How long have you had it? And so forth. You know the routine. Surely you've been to a doctor. In the end, a solution is usually found, and you end up with some good advice and perhaps a prescription of sorts. So, you get not only the diagnosis of your problem, but instructions on how to make it better. How to make it better. By the same token, when it comes to being a Christian, the only way man can define whether or not he is a real, truly saved Christian, born again, is by self-examination. Self-examination. What's your life been? What's it been like since you came to Christ? Have you repented? That means, have you turned from all your sinful ways? At least tried to. Have your friends changed? Do you hang out with the same old gang, you know, who likes to hop the bars and bend the elbow? Are you? Have you lost those old desires? Hanging out with the guys and going places a Christian should not go, maybe a dance or a movie. And what about those videos you used to watch? Do you have a desire to go to church? Do you read the Bible? Do you pray? Do you help the poor and needy wherever you can? Have those old desires passed away? Are all things becoming new? If so, be assured that the Holy Spirit is working in you, refining you, cutting off those rough edges, and helping you to become a true soldier of the cross. Praise God. These are the ways to examine yourself, to work out your own salvation. I have no confidence in so-called Christian psychologists. I don't. You may not agree with me, but I don't care. Their agenda is 90% world and 10% God, when it should be the other way around, or totally 100% God. If it were the other way around, then I might change my mind. I don't know. I doubt it. I do believe, though, in medical doctors I do believe in medical doctors who tend to the infirmities of the flesh, if they believe in God. When it comes to the mind and the soul, though, well, this is God's business. So stop making big bucks using God's name. The Holy Bible, the 1611 King James, is every Christian's instructions for living and dying. For living and for dying. Yes, they are. It's forbidden that any man deviate from the words of our great physician, Dr. Jesus, if I may use the term respectfully. I used to have a Christian doctor. She used to wear a lanyard attached to her name tag about her neck. Guess what it said on the lanyard? You know, right? You already know, don't you? WWJD. What would Jesus do? When I see that, I just get all excited and say, ooh, she's going to tell me the truth. I can talk about Jesus. I can mention Jesus in our conversation. Wow. How exciting. I didn't mind taking foot-long needles in the hip from her as time permitted. We often chatted liberally about our Jesus. Well, she suspended her practice right here in Newmarket to raise a family. She wanted to do, see, even though she could still be a doctor, I'm not sure if she went back to her practice or not, but she wanted to do what God wanted her to do first, and that was to raise a family. And she did it. I'm not sure if she followed up in other matters concerning God, but I know she was a wonderful Christian, and I pray that I'll meet her someday in glory. As Christians, it's our responsibility to give it to Jesus. Give it to Jesus. First, go to Him in prayer. Sing, give it to Jesus, give it to Jesus. He is a friend that's well known. That's as much as I'm going to sing, so don't pretend that I'm going to sing it further, okay? Now, someone once told me, I'm a Christian, but I don't spiritualize everything I do. Oh, really? After all, God gave me a brain, you know. That's what I said. Not me. I give everything to go. Big and small. Difficult and trivial. I mean, I really bug him. And you know something? I think he likes it. Jesus I'm talking about. I think he likes it when you give everything over to him. I think he likes you to bug him. Whether it be difficult or trivial. I really believe that. The Bible tells us, in everything, give thanks to God. Cast all your burdens upon him. I like that. I love casting my burdens upon someone I can truly trust. Oh, yes, I do. Yes, I do. As Christians, we must turn to Jesus as our first recourse, not our last resource. Have you got that? Turn to Jesus as our first recourse, not our last resource. We can't expect our Lord God to make His presence known only when the storm clouds gather, but also when the sun is shining. Amen? Sure. Some through the water, some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the, what? Blood. The blood of Christ, right? Dearly beloved, suicide is actually premeditated murder. That's what it is. 99% of suicides are planned, mapped out, even rehearsed. During the war, you may have heard about such things as suicide bombers. The Japanese Empire had many what they call kamikaze pilots who would dive bomb their planes into a ship just to kill as many as they could. They'd willingly crash their planes and into major industrial sites, killing themselves and usually many on the ground. Today, suicide bombers crashing their planes is almost a rarity. Today they simply wrap their bodies with explosives and then blow themselves up in a busy market, killing innocent women and children. And they do it all in the name of their God. I'm so glad that their God is not my God. Now, problems arise. Persecution from friends and family members, both saved and unsaved. It comes in great waves. Depression hits you like a hammer. If you're a pastor, the persecution can be manifold. Then again, so can the blessing. I just want to say right here, folks, I have a problem with the term secular Christian. Secular Christian. As to if they are truly saved. I really have a problem with that. That's an oxymoron. Secular and Christian are antonyms, opposites, as far as I can see. Premeditated suicide, as they say in Newfoundland, well, that's a different thing, by. Yeah. Thou shalt not kill. Can a professed Christian who kills himself really be a true Christian? I'm not saying someone who sacrifices their lives for others, but who commits suicide, can they really be a true Christian? Is it possible? Is it highly unlikely? Let me see. How can I put this? Well, not likely. Not likely. Not likely is a tough phrase. Nonetheless, scriptural. Consider what was said earlier about self-examination. Testing yourself. Questioning yourself. Make sure. Would the God of righteousness and glory desert one of his own at such an hour, when one of his deeply despondent sons is planning to murder himself? Would he? Would God allow such a one to lose all hope? No! The key word here is, would. Would God? And the answer is, no. God dwells in all believers, so that even under the most adverse trials and circumstances, we should not relent in our hope for his intervention. I believe in the phrase, pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. Romans 15, verse 13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace, in believing that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. God's strength is perfected, people, in our weakness. His strength is perfected. Suicide is not found in the true believer. My friends, before I got saved, the devil tried me sorely, sorely. Several times he drove me to the brink of suicide. But no matter how hard he pushed, God was pulling in the opposite direction. Can you visualize that? God wants you on his side. The devil wants you on his side. Who are you going to relent to? In fact, the more he pushed, the more I resisted. Suicide and faith in God do not stand together. They do not stand together. Now, you don't hear any pastors preach on this subject, especially when their own are involved. But I'm not a pastor. I'm a preacher, but I'm not a pastor. This is not an exposé on pastors who are or may become suicidal. No, it's not. What it is the same old problem faced in Christianity since the log cabin fell to the high-rise and sincere believism got hacked to death by moron theologians. when a sudden shortness of sanity drives someone off the deep end. This would not always indicate that they were not saved. No. Christians go bananas also, you know. Oh, yes. That's why I say, pray without ceasing. It's harder to pray when the chips are down, isn't it, sometimes? When prayer is needed the most, it's harder to pray sometimes. God knows this. Can a true Christian really believe that there is no hope from his God in such a despairing time? That suicide is the only answer? God will forgive me and receive me anyway? Well, John 14:18 says, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Isaiah 41:10 says, I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Why would our holy and loving God say such words of comfort if he did not mean them? If he did not mean them. You know, God's promises are true and faithful. God doesn't fool around with his words. He doesn't make promises that he won't keep. No. Then could it be you are none of his if you don't listen to him? Could it be? Well, what other explanation can there be? If you don't want to listen to the word of God, if you don't want to believe in what happened at Calvary, that's your problem, not God's. He wants you to come. If you don't want to come, he's not going to force you. A Christian committing suicide is an extreme. Let me put it that way. A Christian planning their suicide is an impossibility. You see what I'm saying here? Because God is missing somewhere. Jesus is not in the equation. Committing and planning, well, they don't always work together. Philippians 2, verse 13. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and do his good pleasure. And that's not committing Harry Caray or suicide. Part of our problem as believers is we just don't want to concede that family and friends who profess Christianity are in fact not saved. Not saved at all. Even if they still live their carnal life. You saw them walk the aisle. You saw them commit their life to Christ. But if someone asks you if they're Christians, oh yeah, yeah. My brother's saved. Oh yeah. My mama's saved. Dearly beloved, when you are that sure about another salvation, then one must wonder about their own. See, we can't judge whether someone is truly saved or not just by the way they behaved, but the Bible does say you'll know them by their works. Still then, we should not judge, but we should pray. Pray without ceasing. You see, God is able. God is able to save that soul that had one time been radicalized, had one time not believed anything about Scripture. God is the great Redeemer. And Jesus Christ, in obedience to God the Father, went to Calvary to pay the price that we could never pay. the salvation of our souls. The salvation of our souls. How is it with you? How is it with you people? Do you truly, truly believe you, if you were to leave this life today, that you would be in the presence of Almighty God? Do you? Or do you say, well, yeah, I think so. I really, really think I would. I'm a pretty good person. I help the poor, help the hungry, you know, the downtrodden and all that. So I do God's will, you know, and I don't run around, you know, getting drunk and, you know, and talking bad language and stuff like that. Whether you do or do not these things, the important thing is, do you believe? You see, by you believing in Jesus Christ and what he did at Calvary, then the strength you desire or need to comply with God is given unto you through the meditation and studying of his word. That's why he gives us his word. So we can look at it and we can say, oh, I didn't know that. Oh, I'm so glad that I have the chance that I will one day walk with Jesus in glory. I'm so glad. Well, so is Jesus. Because he died for all sinners, not just for you and me and him and her. No, for all of us. And he's the only one that can open the door to glory that we may walk through and be forever in his presence. I want to thank you for listening to me go on and on here through two sermons. But I pray you got something out of them. That's why I do it. That's why I love to do it. If you're not sure about your salvation, please give it some extra thought. Please take the time to talk to God and get yourself a good Bible. Okay. Thank you again for listening. God bless you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.